Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carried for Animals, number 242 shows and counting. And we're going to keep going because these animals need our help one way or another out there, you know, the ones in need. So we are standing up for them, trying to recruit everyone to take action is the key to unlock the door to, for all changes to be made. And everyone, I want to welcome all you new listeners this evening. Hope you enjoy the show and keep spreading the word about it. All you returning listeners, can't thank you enough for all your support. The ones who can come in and listen every Thursday. And all these shows are archived. So every Thursday, recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to go to Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/voices carried for animals, and you can listen and share these shows 24/7, everyone. So please keep spreading the word on the left side of the screen. To go on, you know, you can share it to Facebook, Twitter, copy it. You can email it across all of them, WordPress, LinkedIn. This list is huge for social media. So I hope everybody enjoys the show. I just want to go over a couple more things here. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Voices Carried for Animals. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me. And you can press listen live here on the website, and it'll lead you right to Blog Talk Radio. On the right-hand column, there is a you can subscribe free, and every time there's a new news article or podcast, it will alert you in your primary email. Thank you, Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network, and the PPJ Gazette Online for helping me promote this show, my shows every Thursday. And then I used to be a host on Voices Care for Animals on TS Radio Network. 163 shows, everyone. So they're all archived too. So the more exposure and the info and awareness, the prevention, the safety of these animals, the better. So I'm going to go ahead and get started here. And I want to welcome a new guest this evening. Her name is Dahl Stanley, a campaign director for In Defense of Animals. She's got 30 plus years in with them. That is amazing, and it's great because the animals need our help from one angle to you know, all angles out there. And that's what we're doing on this radio platform, is trying to bring attention to it, put it in the spotlight. But the topic will be animal hoarding this evening, the realities of hoarding, in which situations are really hoarding, or a person without means becoming overwhelmed. in defense of animals, and it is an international animal protection organization with over 250,000 valued supporters and a 36-year history of protecting animals, people, and the environment through education, campaigns, and hands-on rescue facilities in India, Africa, and rural Mississippi. Their main headquarters is established in San Rafael, California. So we want to welcome her aboard. Doll, how are you this evening? Welcome to Voices Care for Animals. This is awesome. Yes.
I am well, thank you. And I'm going to just make one quick correction. I'm Justice for Animals campaign director in our Mid-South office in Mississippi. And
okay.
Matthew Hannity is our campaign director on our international level.
Okay, gotcha. I'll go ahead and change that in a little bit later after the show. So it's, you know, corrected and everything. Everything's right. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. But we'll go ahead, Dawn, and go ahead and tell us a little, just the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Well, in 1983, I saw an advertisement on the television set that Bob Barker and some other celebrities were going to be at UC Davis in California for mobilization for animals. And I said out loud, I'm going to that, because I'd heard about so many things that humans are doing to animals, and I really didn't know how to connect with anybody. And I attended the event. It was amazing. I came home at least a vegetarian, and then learned and became a vegan. And that same year, Dr. Elliot Katz got a small group of us together. We had our first meeting, and In Defense of Animals was founded. Initially, we were Californians for Responsible Research. Our goal was to go after the UC system for their egregious treatment of animals in laboratories. And as our membership grew and the diversity was needed for campaigns, we, of course, moved on. And then a few years ago, Marilyn Kroplick, our wonderful CEO, took the helm. And we have a sanctuary in Mississippi where we are able to help thousands of animals. And I had the blessing of starting the sanctuary. And I came to Mississippi in 1993. I actually went undercover. There were two Class B USDA licensed animal dealers, and we had many reports and confirmation that they were dealing in dogs that were illegally acquired. And amazingly, through the undercover work that I did, help from some locals, awesome media coverage, and help from my home office, we were able to get them closed down. Well, that took about 6 months. And while I was here in Mississippi on that effort, I got lots of requests from humane societies and individuals asking us to intercede for animals that were being abused. So in August of 93, we opened our office here. We began forming our sanctuary as we rescued, and now we have developed enough that we needed another arm here. And so in 2015, we established the Justice for Animals campaign. The purpose of this campaign is to work with law enforcement, prosecutors, judges, and, of course, fellow rescuers, humane societies, and citizens who are concerned for the welfare of animals. And we want to see crimes prosecuted. We want to see legislation improved. And we're hoping that the impact that we will make will change the lives for countless animals.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there doing all this, inspiring work for the animals because they deserve justice, all of them. You know, get treated with dignity and respect. More kindness towards animal. It doesn't cost anything to be kind to an animal or animal friends. You know, they deserve the best out there. And if we don't take action and do what we need to do, it's just the problem is just going to worse, doll. It's just terrible. You know, so a big shout out to you and everyone out there that's working hard for them, getting a better life. Yeah.
Thank you. And the reality is, what kind of society do you have if you do not protect those who cannot protect themselves? Children, animals, the elderly. Many of the cases that I go on, I mean, let's face it, if people are not good to animals, they're usually not good to fellow humans. And one of the problems that we run into, of course, in Mississippi, and not just in Mississippi, is hoarding. And, you know, there's a lot of ideas about hoarding. There are some misconceptions about some people that become involved in situations where they're overwhelmed with animals. And I kind of look at it this way. People who are true hoarders have a mental disorder. And what I have learned from experience, and not just from reading, many of these people are highly intelligent. They have had some sort of trauma in their lives. They become more and more reclusive, or at least they try to fit in society as best they can if they're working. Recent cases I've had, a woman who had lost her child to cancer when she was just 4 years old.
Oh.
A man who witnessed his mother shoot his father in the stomach with a shotgun. A woman that her father was electrocuted. So when we're dealing with true hoarders, it's hard sometimes for those of us that see the suffering that they inflict on animals to appreciate that they need help too. And the saddest thing is that this is not endemic to one area. In Mississippi, and I'm sure in most states, just about every community has someone who on some level is a hoarder. And I divide hoarders into two groups when I'm working a case. There are people that when you show them compassion and you show them that you're going to help the animals that they unfortunately are subjugating, they will let you help. You have to go about it very gingerly. Sometimes it doesn't work. There are some hoarders that I've had conflict with. We had to get seizure orders. We had to have them arrested. There was one man who really was a kind man, but in his world, he had no understanding of the condition that he was living in or the animals. And in his case, we didn't want to arrest him, but we threatened him with putting him in jail until we could catch all the animals on his property. In the long run, he cooperated with us. I personally made sure that we had three of his animals fully vetted. I checked on them because he was within my region. And I would see him in town and he would yell out loud to people, "That lady helped me. She saved my animals." So how we go about helping animals sometimes is very helpful to the people too, because they're living in hell. A lot of these people, when I say these people, that's kind of disrespectful, but a lot of humans that wind up in hoarding situations need intervention, medical intervention. I know a woman, I've known her since I came to Mississippi. I watched her progress into a small level hoarder, but definitely a hoarder. I tried to work with the city that she was in to get them to do something, and all they did was pass an ordinance that she could only keep so many animals along with everybody else in the community, but they never went into her home. She finally got into such a bad state that we got help for her. 20 cats were dead and petrified in the house under mountains of garbage. Her neighbors had complained to law enforcement over and over again. Part of all of this is to educate law enforcement as to what hoarding is, how it impacts the community. You know, the people that lived around her were dealing with the smell from her house, the fleas from her animals. They were concerned about her and her animals. Too many times, people have a tendency to not want to get involved, or maybe they don't want to hurt somebody. When you don't take action, we all know this when it comes to animal abuse and child abuse. If you see something and you don't say something, you're part of the problem.
That's right. So, agreed.
You know, and then there's another aspect of hoarding. And in this case, I don't consider the people hoarders, especially in rural areas in Mississippi. Now, you can go county to county, 82 counties in our state. There are many counties that have nothing, no humane society, no shelter. If there is something, it's an impoundment facility. The little rescue groups around our state need to absolutely be honored for the work they do. They work out of their own pocket. They strive to help animals. And one of our efforts is to form coalitions here in our state where if we have a case, right now, there's a case that our sanctuary, Hope Animal Sanctuary, is working a case with a rescue group. The woman that was in charge of the group got overwhelmed. Apparently, they had to ask her to leave. If you go in and shut the rescue down, there's nothing left there. What are the animals in that area going to do? So our sanctuary has joined with two other organizations here in Mississippi, rescues, and we are working with them to improve their facilities. We are helping them get their animals out, vetted, transported to loving homes or adopted. And if we look at these situations with compassion for all around, I think we can do a mighty, mighty job. And, you know, like I said, there are times when, I'm sorry, you do have to get law enforcement involved. You do have to prosecute people. You do have to get a judge to order them not to have animals or not to have animals unless they're supervised.
Yeah, because, hey, you got to do what's necessary. Because some people...
Correct.
They don't want to be cooperative and they want to take that step in another direction. And that's the way, you know, they got to go. Get the police involved.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and there are people that love animals and they'll take a few cats in or a few dogs or maybe both. Economically, they do not have the finances to take these animals and have them spayed or neutered. There's nothing in their region that is low cost or free for spay and neuter. I'm going to make a plug right now for the Big Six. Mississippi Spay and Neuter is an organization in the Jackson area. In their area, they have decreased euthanasia by 40% since they opened their doors.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursdays, they let people bring feral cats for $5, and they're making a huge impact. They have also a voucher system where people can approach them. If they can't afford spay or neuter on their own, they will help with the cost of spay and neuter. There are veterinarians across the state that are embracing this, and they're participating. Mississippi State University has a program where their students, veterinary students in their third year, go on a mobile clinic to shelters on a regular basis and spay and neuter the animals for free as long as they are sheltered animals and they're not animals that have a family. And it's making a tremendous impact. But Mississippi is one of the states that just doesn't have a thriving economy. And it's very difficult to be judgmental against people who love animals, want to help them, and all of a sudden those few cats, those few dogs that they had, and then people see that they like animals. People drop animals off on them. Or they see an animal out in the road that needs help and their heart will not let them drive on. Some of these people don't even have vehicles to take animals somewhere. So joining together and sharing our resources, we're making a huge impact, but we are a long way from solving the problem. Spay and neuter is the only answer, and unfortunately, it's not mandatory, because many city and county officials recognize that they cannot mandate that their citizens do something that they don't have the money to do. So it's an uphill battle, but we're going to keep fighting.
That's right. We can't, you know what? We can't give up. Though, or we automatically lose, you know, so.
Right.
We got to keep going and stay strong and get our voices out there, action takers, because the more action takers and voices, the better. So audience out there, whatever you can do to help out, and you can go ahead and give the website and the Facebook page too, for the audience to, you know, write down or remember, because all these shows are archived, everyone, so. Any information we give
Wonderful.
Out, you can always go listen to it, okay? But go right ahead
Surely.
In the website.
Well,
go ahead.
People can look at our Facebook page, In Defense of Animals, and our website, www.idausa.org.
And it's an awesome website, too. I've checked it out several times way before this, you know, the Facebook and how you can, you know, people get involved in the awareness out there and not to close our eyes or not do anything, because we want these, you know, we're coming up on the year 2020. So we want to, you know, the longer we wait for these changes to be made, the more the animals are suffering out there, a lot of them. And we don't want that because
right.
humans don't like to suffer, and neither do the animals. You know, I mean, we complain if we get a headache, and what, we go and grab aspirin. You know, just imagine some of these animals, what they're going through, the pain and the suffering and the you know, torture and all that, abuse, neglect. It's totally uncalled for when we're here to
right.
protect them, make sure, you know, they're living in comfort.
And a really important element is educating our youth. What I have found is when I first started going and speaking at schools or children's clubs, the boys and girls clubs. What I found was if I took an animal with me, they tended to pay more attention to the animal, and it was kind of hard to get their attention. If you took a toy dog or something, that like a mechanical one, you know, they spent the whole time wondering if you were going to let one of them have it. What I have developed, and initially, you know, I was thinking that maybe their teachers and their sponsors at the Boys and Girls Club would be offended by the slideshow that I put together, but I have gotten amazing response. What I have is a slideshow that is composed of egregious animal cruelty cases that I have been involved in, and I have literally investigated hundreds of animal cruelty cases. And I choose the ones mostly that have a happy ending and some that don't, because that's the reality of life. And as I'm showing the slides, I don't tell the youth what they're seeing. I ask them, I engage them. And they often will be very accurate in what they're seeing. They'll go, oh, that dog's skinny, or oh, what happened to that dog? And then we have a conversation about it. I tell them what was done to alleviate the situation, what the outcome was for the animal, what they can do in their community if they see something, say something. And tragically, what I have found in certain groups, not age groups, but probably in economic levels, is that there are children that are telling me stories that's going on in their own homes or in their own neighborhood. And they are becoming accustomed to seeing this. So by giving them information on how it can be different, what they can do about it, if anything, that is one means of helping another generation grow up without living the same standards of neglect and abuse that have been going on for generations.
Oh, yeah. You're talking generations, too. And it's, you know, we're from the 20th century, it rolled over the 21st century, and it's got to come to a stop. I mean, we know we'll go down to zero. We only wish, but it can massively decline on abuse and neglect because they're crimes and they should be treated like crimes. Not no slap on the wrist or, oh, don't do that again. And like you're saying, the youth, teaching them young to treat animals with dignity and respect. You know how to treat them good. What they need to be treated fairly. Because, you know, they're innocent, defenseless, helpless, voiceless, just like the elderly and the children. So if we don't stand up for them, guess what? The problems prevail and they get worse. And we don't want that. We want them to, you know, the animals to live in comfort and, you know, give them, there needs to be more compassion in this world. Because they're awesome. Animals are awesome, and everything you're doing there, doll, and the staff, a big shout out to all of you because you deserve it. Got to give credit when credit's due. You know, I know I got this platform. Go ahead.
I can say that none of us can do it alone. My home office gives me support. Our supporters, how could we even exist as an organization if there weren't people supporting us? And in addition, it's surprising if you reach out. My best gift is that I know how to find people who are smarter than me, more talented than me, people that are available, and collectively we take on these issues. Yes, there have been plenty of cases that I've done by myself. But would I have even been able to go there by myself if I didn't have the support and backing of In Defense of Animals and our members?
Oh, yeah, I believe that. It takes teamwork to see any, you know, victories or, and it's so, you know, working together as one, we can get so farther, you know, meaningful changes get made. And I've seen it happen a lot. I mean, we can't say it doesn't because it does. I've seen it, you know, through social media, the landing strip for all of us to come together, you know, get it to push that, you know, share button. Recruit your, you know, family members, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers to help out too. You know, because if you know, you never wait for the next person to do it. You step up to the plate and do what you can because every effort counts out there. You know, call on your legislators. That's major right there because that's where we get the laws, you know, new laws or laws changed. So, everyone, please do your part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part.
We also need to get to know our law enforcement officers, our judges, our legislators. There are several judges in Mississippi that in the past gave very lenient sentencing to people for egregious crimes. Once I looked into it, one of the cases, the city ordinance only allowed the judge to rule for $100 fine. And after meeting with the judge and meeting with the city council, now their city ordinance refers to state law. Sometimes judges don't get the full picture of a case when it's presented to them. I was in court once with an animal control officer, and he wasn't animal control and protection. He was animal control. That's what he was hired for. That's what he was trained for. He didn't know any better. And in court, he didn't really present the case. So all the judge could go by was what he heard. So we were able to work with that animal control officer and give him some education. In that whole community, as a matter of fact, the city council, the mayor, the city attorney, the new animal control and protection officer, they're doing a marvelous job. When I first, I don't want to mention the community because I don't want to embarrass them, but when I first came here, their animal control officer was one of those Class B animal dealers that we got shut down. He was picking up dogs in that community, taking them to his property, having them debarked, and selling them to laboratories if they survived the hell of his property. I was able to get on his property, take photos and video, and it made a huge impact. But just media can be your very best friend. They can be your very worst friend. So you have to find media friends who support what you're doing. And I will say, Mississippi, most of the media outlets are absolutely pro-animal.
Well, hey, the more for the animals, the better. They stand up to it, even with politicians. You know, get to know your politicians and see where they stand on, you know, on these animal laws and everything. Because, you know, there are, when we all come together, we the people and the politicians and come together as one, we get changes made and it's for the positive. Bringing the negative into the positive, it can't be done. Right, Dahl?
Right.
We
and
can't give
slamming
up.
And slamming legislators for not doing what you think they should, that should be a last step. the first step should be to meet with them, find out what their thinking is, and why they're voting the way they are. An example, here in Mississippi, right now, we have a crisis with our bridges and our roadways. Our teachers are wanting more for the school system. These are things that affect everybody, not just people who like animals. So when you go to the Capitol and you speak with legislators and they're faced with all these demands and they have hundreds of bills that have been introduced in that legislative session, you have to get their ear. You have to get them to understand that cruelty to animals is part of a very sick society, that people who treat animals wrongly, and not just talk about the statistics, give them examples from their own communities as to what's going on. And if you'll notice, frequently, legislation is passed when there is an egregious act of cruelty or some kind of crisis. Latch on to those events. If an animal died in a horrific way, don't let that animal die in vain. That animal should be the poster child, so to speak, for legislation. And it may take you years. And you also have to be careful what you ask for, because legislators are pretty shrewd. In 2011, here in Mississippi, there was an effort to try and get a felony for animal cruelty. Well, it was decided that it would only be for dogs and cats. Livestock was already a law in case somebody was cruel. Well, not cruel, but if somebody shot your cow, your horse, if somebody injured your animal, that's basically a law that protects, and I quote, the owner of the livestock rather than how they treat their animals. But the dog and cat law of 2011 that was passed, we got a felony. Yeah. Second offense within 5 years. First of all, misdemeanors are not reported on any kind of state system. You have to be aware that somebody was convicted of a misdemeanor in a county in order to understand that their second offense can be charged with a felony. The other thing is, when I first came to Mississippi, one of the puppy mills that I investigated, I filed 167 counts of cruelty. Today, because of the 2011 dog and cat law, in order to prevent a felony case by the legislators, we can only file one count of cruelty, no matter how many dogs or cats or a combination of the two are involved in an animal cruelty case.
Hmm. Just one. That's a whoa. And I know
on a happier note, on a better note, the Adams County Sheriff's Department in 2017, they're an awesome sheriff's department. Travis Patton, the sheriff, is 100% pro-animal. They busted two dogfighting rings. Now, they didn't catch them in action. Our state law only requires that you prove that animals, dogs, are being kept for fighting or trained for fighting. You don't have to catch the people in action. But as a result of the case, Senator Bob Dearing introduced a piece of legislation to increase the penalties for dogfighting. I had the absolute honor of helping him with some of the wording on that legislation, because the the time that he announced it, I happened to be present, and I gave him some ideas. The law was passed, and now we do have a greater penalty for fighting dogs. We just had a case in Natchez, Mississippi. The Adams County Sheriff's Department uncovered a case where there were 54 dogs. 53 of them were pit bulls. One was a bait dog. And even though the counts were reduced and he wound up only being found guilty of 3 counts of dog fighting, the judge sentenced him to 3 years each, not concurrently, but consecutively. So a shout out for Judge Debbie Blackwell, who did the right thing. He left He will spend 9 years. Now, we know that the penal system will probably let him out in about 4.5, but he's going to have some time to think about just exactly what he did.
Oh, yeah. Make him think a little bit and, you know, not new slap on the wrist like, well, don't do it again. You know, they need to be punished. That PACT Act, I know you know, the Senate passed and it's waiting to go to the president. Prevention of Animal Cruelty Act. You know, that's what felony in across the United States. So that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need to get stiffer laws and you know, harsher penalties.
I'd like to clarify what that law covers, because a lot of people unfortunately think that that federal law will apply to crimes in their city, their county. The reality is it's a good law, but it will apply to animals who are cruelly treated on federal property or animals who are transported interstate for the purpose of cruel treatment.
So it's not, you know, there's a lot of them that's not on there, and that should be, because they all should get, you know, no matter what, they should all, if animal cruelty is animal cruelty, and they should be punished for animal cruelty, you know, so.
The thing is, though, the federal government does not interfere with states' rights, and the states make their own animal cruelty laws. And then cities and counties, of course, can pass ordinances. They can add to a degree to a state law. They may not take away from it. But in Mississippi, cities and counties may only fine up to $1,000 under a city or county ordinance. And that's why we are having cities and counties add to their ordinance to refer to state law for the prosecution of animal cruelty. It's a greater penalty.
It's something else out there. You know, you never think that was so. I mean, look at all the organizations out there for animals. I mean, this stuff is massive. It's not minor problems. It's massive out there. You know, because there's so many fighting for animal rights from every angle, and I can't believe how many abusers are out there. It just, it blows my mind there, doll. It just, you know, appalled at it, what's going on. I don't know if you've seen the social media, how much, you know, cruelty's going through there, and what, you know, starving them and beating them and shooting them and stabbing them, the animals. And it's like, whoa, they don't deserve this. That is so cruel and inhumane. So.
And part of that, too, if you look at the perpetrators, you know, I kind of believe there's only two kinds of people. People who have been abused and want to make sure nobody else is abused. People have been abused and they want to lash out at the world. And of course, people learn, you know, learned behavior from their environment. But some of us, you know, we rise above that. One thing that I would like to tell the audience, if any of you are thinking, you know, this is depressing and it's hard work. And, you know, a lot of times we use the word burnout and we fear that our friends, you know, will fall out of the movement because the impact on them is so great. The first thing I told myself when I got involved was, who is hurting? Oh, yes. It grieves me to see what I see. It sickens me to see what I see. But if I don't do it, I'm not the one that's going to suffer. The animals are. The other aspect of that is, look at California. If this were the day after Thanksgiving, it would be Fur Free Friday. And in the old days, I would have been on Union Square organizing a protest against wearing fur. And did we really think people would ever stop wearing fur? Well, we sure hope they would. And now California has passed a law that within 3 years, the furriers have to unload. They are not going to be able to sell fur in California. So be hopeful. There is change.
Yes. Yes, and that's great, too. I hope more follow, because it needs to. Thank you, California. Yes. And that's activists coming together and, you know, taking action. That's what this is from. More proof. It works. You know, so you hear some people say, oh, it's all about money or, you know, greed and they're not going to do nothing. You're not going to know that until you step up to the plate and take action yourself and do something. Step up to the plate and take that action, because it's so meaningful. Meaningful
and
time, everyone. Yep.
Contribute to the national organizations and the international organizations that are doing good work. But don't forget your local groups. Your local groups are mainly funded out of the pockets of the people that are trying to help animals. And the reason why those groups fail so many times is because they don't have the support they need. They may have families to take care of. You know, at some point, they exhaust their resources.
Yep. So then doesn't take that much time to, you know, help the animals. I know, you know, seeing these, you know, horrific videos and photos and everything, I don't like seeing those. And I take my anger and I go and take action instead of looking the other way and say, I can't handle that. Or I'm going to do what I can do to make it better, be a positive impact for the animals, not a negative one. And call them politicians, you know, write them emails, make those phone calls, those letters, make appointments to see them. Because, you know, like I said, it's coming up on the year 2020, and a lot of this stuff has rolled over from the 20th century onto the 21st century. And we're heading for the 22nd century, so there has been a lot of, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been a lot of victories for 2019 all over the world.
Absolutely.
I've noticed that. I mean, I can see, you know, when you see victory coming through or changes made, I mean, it's like you, even if you weren't a part of it, you're seeing positive changes out there. And that's the main thing. And that took a bunch of people coming together and doing something. You know, the politicians working with we the people and doing something about it. because these animals cannot make phone calls or write emails, write letters, call the police. None of that. So, and the animals especially thank all of us for what we're doing. They can't say it, but when their lives and futures change for the better, they notice that. You know, animals do the same as we. They see, they smell, they eat, they hear, they sleep, walk, you know, so, and suffer. So, whatever we're doing out there, and it's worth the time, everyone. It's meaningful time. I use my social media for advocacy only. You know, whether it's for the animals, the elderly, the children, the homeless, whatever. Whatever I could get out there. Or not. And it works, doll. It's awesome. I'm not spinning my wheels. Because when you see changes made, you think, all right, this is great news. And let's keep going. Let's not stop here. You know, so.
And
the animals,
every bit of help is important. I don't
care.
That's
right.
Only if you can only write letters and you don't have the finances to help support an organization, or maybe you don't have time to write letters, but you have the finances to help out. We are building together a front to help animals. None of us can do it alone. Like you say,
no.
It has to be a collective effort. And never think that your part isn't important. You might just be the one letter. You may write that one letter that changes somebody's mind. You see it all the time. Someone is recognized for a huge change, a social change that occurs. And it was just that one person, you know? And children make such a strong impact. And I've heard people say, oh, they're using their children. You know what? Children care. Children have a voice, too. They have just as much right as an adult to expect that the world they live in is humane.
That's right. I agreed with you all the way there, doll. I mean, all lives matter, including, you know, the animals, the children, the elderly, who were fighting and striving for a better world for them and futures. They so well deserve. We're all one age, one time. And when you see something wrong, or you see an animal getting neglected or abused, or, you know, a child or elderly, you know, report it. Because the next time, you know, they could lose their life. You know, death could happen. So try to prevent that. Get them out of harm's way. All the way. So everyone, please take that action. That's what we're encouraging you to do. Your voice matters and everyone else does. You know, they blame it on society. We are society. So we are to look at and say, okay, we got to do something. We can't just sit there and close our eyes or put it on the back burner or think it's nothing, or, you know, expect it and accept it. No, we can't do that either. So whatever, every effort out there counts. Everyone,
you know, when I first got started, the biggest blessing that I had was that there was a very small organization in my community that worked for legislation. And I went, I was off on Wednesday and Sunday, and every Wednesday I would go and spend my day filing for them. Well, I know they got a little frustrated because I read everything I filed. But in a very short time, I became very knowledgeable about the different issues affecting animals. I was able to speak to people with the confidence about those issues. A lot of the things that I was working on in those days are not what I'm working on now. And I'm sure there are changes in those areas that I'm not aware of. But it's, you keep yourself educated about what's going on. You know, doctors are required to have so many hours a year to catch up on things. Nobody knows it all. And seek out the people who have knowledge. And I really have never asked anybody for information or help that I didn't get it.
Right. I mean, open your ears and your eyes, not, you know, be educated, be, you know, made aware of and accept it and spread the word, because we can't just sit there and close our mouths and eyes and ears, because that's when it goes into bigger problems, right, Joel? It's just terrible. And we don't want bigger problems. We want it to massively decrease, not increase, and make this world a better place to live. Make America great and the surrounding countries, because they count too. You know, some areas of animal, you know, animal cruelty is worse than others in some of the states, but in, or in the other countries. But together, we can all make a difference. We've got to at least try. We can't give up.
Well, if bring we look throughout history, I mean, there was a time when people were put into arenas and forced to fight and fed to lions and so forth. If we can get beyond that, I mean, the bottom line is there's probably always going to be something in the world that we have to address. Unfortunately, hatred seems to be at a real height right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of it is not getting to know each other, not getting to know the realities. And sometimes we are just so different that you do have to fight against something. You know, large corporations, for example, who don't care about the environment and don't care about animals. We have to hit them in the pocketbook. That's the only way. You can't plead with them.
I
remember in my youth, Cesar Chavez, when he had the boycott on grapes, even if it didn't make a financial impact, it made a social statement that people understood.
Mm-hmm. Because you put all this together there, though, you know, it all of us as one doing their part and help these animals any which way we can. And this, that's what this radio platform does, is help all the animals in need that need our voices. Be a voice for the voices. It's not going to hurt you. It's not that difficult. And you're going to feel good once you do. You know, when you see the victories coming through, better lives, better futures, you're going to say, guess what? I was a part of that. And you got something good to feel about. You're not out there being a bad impact, not doing nothing, closing your eyes and looking the other way.
Right.
But, you know, we're down to like a minute and 45 seconds here. I want
right.
to really thank
like
you
to
for
say,
it. Great
like
interview you have
thing.
Given. And looking forward
thank
to coming.
Like,
yes. Coming back in 2020.
Like
how's
one,
that?
Oh, great. I'd like to say one quick thing.
Yes, go
children
right ahead.
Children and animals have a voice. People are not listening. So we need to be the voice for those who are not heard. When an
right.
animal screams, when an animal begs, when a child cries, they have a voice. We are not listening. It is time to listen.
Yes. Agreed. Totally. Thank you. Yep. But, anywhere around less than a minute there, Dole. But thank you for coming on this evening.
No,
and,
I so appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and looking forward to having you back in the year 2020. How's that sound? And we'll have,
that
we've got
great.
A lot of subject we can cover.
And we'll talk about all the victories.
Yes, there you go. The good news. bringing the good, the bad news into the good news. But everyone, thanks for tuning in this evening. Another great interview. I'm running out of time here, but I want to thank you for all your support and have a great evening, peaceful, and please stand up for the animals, do your part. A big shout out to my mother who's listening tonight, Pat, beautiful woman inside and out. Love you, Mom. And next week we'll have Angel Hands for the Homeless. She's going to be coming back, so I want to welcome her. And thank you for everything, everybody. These shows have been a total success. And hope you tune in next Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific. Good night, everyone, and may God bless you all. Thank you, Dawn, so much. Thanks for all you do and your staff for in defense of animals. Justice for animals. That's what we want. Good night, everybody, and thanks for all the ones that helped me promote this show, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.